My Lord enjoyed illustrating concepts, and he did it better than anybody in the world. And it wasn't uncommon for him to use things having to do with agriculture, with farming. And so the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? I'm going to build bigger barns. That's agricultural at its root. Or the fields are white to harvest. What we need is laborers, and it's got agriculture. Now, when you get to Luke chapter 8, you're talking about agriculture and using this parable of the soils. And it's where I want to start today. I've never been much of a gardener. I like to do it in the springtime, you know, my hands get to wanting to dig in the dirt, but the problem is I work during the summers traveling, preaching, and you know, you just can't leave a garden for 2 weeks. You leave it for 2 weeks, and when you get back, you can forget it because it's covered up with weeds. And so I've never been very successful. When Cindy and I first married and we moved out to that place where I referenced this morning, out the Cleveland Church, that's a farming community. And out there in the country, and Cindy and I were both raised in the city. And so when it came time for the gardens, someone came and plowed us a garden. I don't recall even asking for that, but it was just assumed. Well, I was good with that. And so Cindy and I, again, 22 years old, we made our trip to the seed store and we picked out things that we liked. And so we had some squash, some crook-necked squash. And we had some tomatoes and some okra, et cetera, et cetera. It's got some beans. And then I went home and I planted it. And it seemed like I had a pointed toe boot. And I would walk along and poke my boot in the dirt. And that would make, and I'd put the seeds in and cover it up. Well, when I finished planting, I still had a row that was yet unplanted. I had more garden than I had seed. And so I said, Cindy, you know what I like? I like popcorn. We'll plant a row of popcorn. And so, of course, I hadn't bought any at the store. I don't even know if they had it. But in the kitchen, we had a bag. And I don't even know if this is illegal. I mean, this could be, I could go to, I planted it. A row of popcorn. No, stop it. And it came up. I mean, a row of the prettiest green blades came up and got to be 4 or 5 inches high. It was my popcorn row. Well, I went to the worship assembly, and one of our deacons was there who happened to own a number of just several acres right there beside our house. And he had planted it in corn. And he said, oh, Glenn, I see you got your garden. But yes, yes, I've got the garden planted. And he said, what did you plant? Well, I went through, you know, okra and tomatoes and beans, and I planted some popcorn. And all the blood ran from his face. He said, Glenn, you got to pull it up. I said, pull it up? No, what are you talking about? He said, it'll cross-pollinate. You know, this was a money crop for him. This was his living. And in his mind, he envisioned me corrupting the whole field of his corn with my popcorn, and I don't know if that would be true or not, but I pulled it up. But anyway, that's why I'm a preacher and not a farmer. And so in Luke chapter 8, my Lord uses this concept with which everybody is somewhat familiar of planting and growing and then reaping. And Jesus is using different kinds of soils to illustrate different kinds of hearts. And you're in this parable. I'm in this parable. You see, Jesus gave four different kinds of soils and says, now, the seed fell on the wayside soil, or the seed fell on the rocky soil, or the seed fell on the thorny soil, or the good soil. Now, when you hear the gospel preached, your heart is one of those soils, depending on how you respond to the gospel. But now, that's not the point. The point of the lesson is in verse 11, and I want you to get it, and I want you to say it in your heart with me. Would everybody say this? The seed is the Word of God. Say it in your heart. The seed is the Word of God. Now see, that's very critical to you getting this sermon. I spoke yesterday, or no, the day before to a brother, a gospel preacher in Texas, and I said, what are you preaching Sunday? That's what I like to ask preacher. Tell me what you're preaching Sunday. And he told me, and he said, what are you preaching? I said, One of the things I'm going to talk about is the seed concept. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean by the seed concept? And I was disappointed that he didn't know it, but kind of excited that I might be able to tell you something that you hadn't thought of before. But it's a very simple concept, but so terribly profound. And once you know it, you won't ever be able to forget it. The seed is the Word of God. Now remember, this is a continuation of this morning's sermon, really. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 16, told us about establishing His church. And He said, now I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And in that passage, Jesus uses the word church and kingdom interchangeably. The church of my Lord is the kingdom of my Lord. And in Luke chapter 8, which is our text for this afternoon, Jesus twice made reference to the kingdom. He said, now, these parables are to teach the mysteries of the kingdom. All right? This is about the kingdom. And in this parable about the kingdom, Jesus says, and you remember it now, the seed is the Word of God. Now, what do you know about seed? I want you to think about three or four things in this lesson that you know about seed. Not complicated, obvious, but profound. And the first one is that seed is predictable. I mean by that, if you plant watermelon seed, what's going to come up? Well, watermelon is. How many times out of 10? If you plant watermelon seed 10 times, how many times will watermelon come up? 10. If you plant big boy tomatoes, and what's going to come up? Well, big boy tomatoes. Crookneck squash, same thing, right? If you planted cucumber seed, go to the store and you buy some cucumber seed and you plant it, and what comes up is cantaloupe. Well, how would you respond to that? You're not going to respond by saying, well, you never know about seed. You know, you plant it, you just wait and see what comes up. That's not how you'd respond. You'd respond by saying, that man at the seed store dipped out of the wrong barrel. He gave me the wrong seed. How do you know? How do you know you got the wrong seed? Because of what came up. Now see, seed is terribly predictable. William Jennings Bryant wrote one time that he had found some seed, allegedly, in Cairo that was 3,000 years old. I don't know about all that, but I do know this. It was sweet seed. If you planted it, what would come up? Wheat, right? I mean, are you sure about that? Did I tell you that it's 3,000 years old? A lot can happen in 3,000 years. But you know that's true because seed is predictable. And if you planted that wheat seed, despite the fact that it was 3,000 years old, if you planted it, what would come up is exactly that, because that's all that's in that seed. Can you hear me? That is all that poor little seed can do is produce after its kind. That's always true. It's predictable. That's how seed is. Now hold that thought. In our text this afternoon, Jesus said the seed is the Word of God. Now, you go over to Romans 1 and 16, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now, what's the gospel? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first half a dozen verses, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so we preach the gospel, and the gospel is what saves people. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 says we've got to obey the gospel in order to go to heaven. Now, back to Acts 2 that I've talked about some today already, those people heard, you ready? The gospel. They had the gospel preached to them, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And they responded, what shall we do? And Peter told them to repent and be baptized, and that's what happened. They were baptized and they were added to the church. We talked about that a while ago. Now, would you just observe, please, with me, that what happened there is that, ready? The gospel seed was planted in their hearts, and this is what it produced. What did it produce? The seed is the Word of God. It was planted. There's the gospel being preached, planted in their hearts. And what did it produce? It produced Christians, right? It produced people whose sins were forgiven and were added to the church. They're members of the church that you read about in your Bible. They're Christians. That's what gospel seed produces. Now, you read through the book of Acts, and you find that same thing happening every time in the examples of conversion. When you plant the gospel seed in people's hearts, it will only produce one thing. It produces Christians. It won't produce anything else, because seed always produces after its kind. It only produces what's in it. Number two, seed is transferable. Now, this is something that is, again, very obvious, but I want you to apply it to our lesson today. Seed is transferable, which means that a few years ago, I went to Zambia, Zimbabwe, and did some preaching and some teaching in a preacher school there, and took one of my elders. I was going to say I took him. I guess he took me. I was so glad to have him with me. And anyway, he really likes gardening. And so when we were in Africa, he came upon some beans, some seed. And he just took a handful of them from, I don't know, wherever we were, took a handful of them and put them in his pocket. And I don't know if he was supposed to do it or not, but he brought them home. And so his idea was he would try them in his garden in Tennessee and see if they'd come up. And so far as I know, they did. That's not so complicated. That doesn't surprise you. You see, seeds like that. You can take seed from one place and you can transport it a long, long way away and plant it, and it'll still bring up the same thing, right? Seed's transferable. There's a sweet gum rose growing right now in Washington State. Very popular rose. And it's pink, five petals with a yellow center. It's called a sweet briar rose. That's what it is, a sweet briar rose. In 1853, a woman by the name of Louisa Borden was in Cedar Grove, Illinois, where they had those roses. She met a man by the name of David Denny who said, "I want to make you my wife, but I've got to tell you, I'm going to move 1,000 miles away and homestead." And he was moving to what would later be called Washington State. And so she agreed, out of her affection for him, she agreed to move 1,000 miles. Well, she had a next-door neighbor, her very best friend, Pamelia. And Pamelia, according to the historical record, Pamelia had some of these roses. And while they were saying their goodbyes, Pamelia said, "I want you to have something to remember me by." And she gave her some of those seeds to those roses. And then that woman took them to Washington State and planted them 1,000 miles away. And that's how come those roses exist in Washington State now. Now, that doesn't surprise you. You can take seed and transport it, and it'll still produce the same thing. Now, here's Mark 16:16 about the gospel seed. Now, remember, our text today says the seed is the Word of God. What happens if you take the Word of God and you plant it here in West Palm? What will it produce? Christians. All right. What if you take it and you plant it in Alabama? What will it produce? Christians. What if you took it to Kentucky and planted it? Same thing. You know why seed is? Well, here's the Great Commission. Go in Mark 16:16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Where? All the world. What's that? The seed, which is the Word of God, is transferable and transportable. You can take it anywhere in the world. And in fact, that's what we're commanded to do. In Acts chapter 2, as I mentioned a while ago, the church was established. It was established upon the preaching of the Word of God, or to say it another way, it was established by the planting of this kingdom seed, this church seed or Christian seed, which is the Word of God. When it was planted in these good and honest hearts, it produced Christians. All right? Now that's Acts chapter 2. Now follow this. 21 years later, the Apostle Paul goes to Corinth, or he writes this letter to Corinth. He's gone to Corinth, and he plants, this is a whole different continent. And he goes and plants the gospel seed. Acts chapter 18 and verse 8 says that those people in Corinth, hearing, believed, and were baptized, they heard the gospel, they obeyed the gospel, and what were they? Christians. Of what church? Members of the Lord's church. Church you read about in your Bible. That's what they were, because that was the seed that was planted. Then he writes back to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, and he calls them the church of God. What? 21 years later, and there's a church of our Lord there in Corinth. How did it get there? Well, seed is transportable. And Paul took that seed, which is the Word of God, and he planted it in Corinth, and as a result, a church existed there. Seed is transportable. And here's the third one. Seed is preservable. Now everybody knows this. All farmers practice this, I suppose. At least small farmers do. You don't eat everything that you grow. You save some back for seed. And seed is preservable. You can save it, you dry it and can keep it, and you can save it for next year, and then you plant it and you have a crop next year. Seed is like that. I read the other day a missionary who wrote that he had visited Japan. Now, I can't prove this, but it's what he said. And there was some chickweed seed that had been dug up in an archaeological dig, and it was, they alleged that it was 1,500 years old in Japan, and they planted it, and it came up. Now, that's pretty remarkable, but I want to ask you this question again. Suppose you took some seed that was 1,500 years old. Now, we know that it works in a year. I mean, you take some watermelon seed and you plant it in a year, what it produces is watermelon. What if you could keep it for 5 years and then plant it? What would it produce? Well, watermelon. What if you could keep it 100 years and plant it? Now, you're not going to live long enough to do that, but suppose you could and you planted it. What would it produce? Well, it would produce watermelon because that's what's in the seed. Now, hold that thought. What if you could keep it 2,000 years? 2,000 years. And it still had the germ of life in it. You could plant it, all things being equal, water, sun, soil. What would it produce? Well, you know the answer. It would produce watermelon. What if you took the gospel, the seed, which is the Word of God, that we see planted in Acts, the second chapter, and you bring it all the way to our day in Florida, and you plant it, what will it produce? It'll produce only one thing, you see, because that's all that's in the seed. It'll produce Christians. Now, let me give you a couple of biblical examples of this. In 2 Kings 22 and 23, you read about Josiah. Josiah became king of Israel when he was 8 years old. Now, I know he had a lot of helpers, but poor little King Josiah had a real handicap, not physically, but it was this. His granddaddy was Manasseh, who was a wicked, wicked king. And he had done all he could, I guess, to pull godliness out of the people. And so when Josiah became king, he doesn't know anything about practicing the Passover. Passover feast hadn't been practiced for a long time. Now little Josiah knows a lot about worshiping idols. He knows a lot about false worship and how to carry that out, but not about the ways of God. And Josiah sends a scribe, Shaphan, to go to the temple. And he says, now we got to repair the temple. It's looking pretty rough. And go and count the money. And anyway, wait, the high priest Hilkiah is there. And Hilkiah says, here's the money and here's the calculations, et cetera, et cetera. And by the way, give this book to the king. I found an old book of the law. And in my mind, I picture it, maybe an old scroll and it's got dust all over it. Blow it off. Anyway, he says, take this to the king. And he does. And King Josiah finds this interesting. The servant hands it to him and says, here, we found a book. It wasn't just a book. It was the law. It was God's law. We found a book. And King Josiah, now a little older, had it read in his hearing. And he begins to rip his clothes. He said, look what we've done. What we've done is we've gotten away from the will of God. We've got to get back. We're drawing the wrath of God on us. Now, wait a minute. What's the answer to that? What's the answer if you have people of God who have left God? How do you fix it? How do you get it back? And the answer is, you got to plant the seed again. You got to replow, and then you got to plant the right seed if you're going to have the right crop, right? And so Josiah stood to the people. All the people came, and Josiah had the law read from the law of God, and they had an iconoclasm. That means the destruction of the icons, the idols, were just destroyed. Pull them back. Pull the people back to the things of God. Now, how did you do it? You planted the seed. Take a New Testament example. Here's the church in Corinth in chapter 1. Got real problems because they got preacheritis. Now, I mean to an extreme. It wasn't just they liked them, but one would say, I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. I am of Peter. And so they were dividing. And Paul says, that's wrong. This is wrong. Church isn't supposed to be divided. It's supposed to be unified. I beseech you that you all speak the same things, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Now, how do you pull people back together again? What happens in a church? And this is the church in Corinth. What happens in a church like this when they get pulled apart and false things come in and the church is getting distorted? This is not what the Lord meant for it to be at all. How do you fix it? Chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians and verse 6, bottom of the verse. I've transferred myself to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. That no one of you be puffed up for one against another. What's that? You've got to get back. You've got to get back to the book. You've got to get back to the seed. Plow it up, plant the seed, and then you'll have it again. Now, point number last. Get this, please. In Luke chapter 8, which is our text today, in the parable that Jesus gave us about the soil, he puts you and me in there. Now, not everybody is going to receive this good seed. It takes the right kind of soil. What kind of heart do you have? Now, there's the wayside soil. That's the hard, packed-down path on which people would walk to get to their farms. It's just like a sidewalk, and you may broadcast some seed over there, but it's not going to penetrate the soil, and some people's hearts are like that. Is that you? You know what? I'm not going to listen to that. I know what I'm going to do and what I think, and that's it, and nothing's going to convince me differently. Some people like that. Or maybe the rocky soil. There's a bedrock here and just a thin crust of soil on the top, and the seed is planted. It comes up quickly, but there's no place for the roots to go. And so when the sun comes out, it just falls away. So a fast start, a good start, but it doesn't last. And some people are like that. They hear the gospel, yes, I want to be, yes, I'll be a Christian. But there's no depth of root, no development there. And before long, they just fade away. The thorny ground. Well, yeah, I want to be a Christian, but I tell you what, I got a lot of worldly interest too. And I'm going to run those side by side. And what happened, it's kind of like one lady said, you know, we love to come to church, but we love to play ball too. And so, no, there's nothing wrong with playing ball, but what if this world's interests interfere with my service to God? There's the thorny ground. And then Jesus said there's good ground too, and that's where the seed can penetrate and it grows up and it produces, and there are faithful Christians. Now, let's wrap this up. Seed is predictable. You got that now. Seed is transportable, right? You can move it from one place to the next. Seed is preservable even after 2,000 years. You know what? You can take the seed of the gospel and plant it. But I want you to hear me now. I'm going to wrap it up. Christians, listen to me. The seed, which is the Word of God, only produces one thing. It'll only produce Christians. Now, we talked this morning about the New Testament church, the church of which Jesus spoke when he said, on this rock I'll build my church. The New Testament will not produce anything but Christians. That's what it's designed to produce. It won't produce a church that's a denomination. You know what is denomination? What does that mean? We use that term and throw it around. What does it mean? And I said this morning in my sermon that I reject the notion of denominationalism. Well, let me explain that a bit more. To be denominational, one must accept this concept, which I reject. But you must accept this to be denominational. It's this. It's to say, we're in denomination A, and we believe that we're getting it right, that we're pleasing God, and we're going to go to heaven. At the same time, we've got denomination B over here, and you know what? They worship different. They wear different names. They do different things. They're all different. It's a different faith, a different religion. But we believe they're getting it right, too. And they're pleasing to God just like we are, and everybody's going to heaven in different ways, and so it doesn't really matter. It says two things about the Word of God, or one of two things. Either it says we can't know God's will for the church and for our lives, or we can know it and it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. I reject that notion. And the reason is the Bible never teaches that concept, that idea. What it does teach is this. The seed is the Word of God. If somebody came to you this afternoon and said, and again, I'm going to preface this by saying, I've got dear friends in all different religions, and I know you do too, and I love them. But I want to make this point. If somebody came to you and said, I want to be a Seventh-day Adventist, what would you give them? I mean, if you want to grow that crop, what seed do you use? You say, well, I'd give them a Book of Mormon. No, you know you wouldn't. Why not? Because you can't grow a Seventh-day Adventist with a Book of Mormon, right? You can't. Somebody says, I'd like to be a Catholic. Can you help me? And so you give them the writings of Ellen G. White, who founded the Seventh-day Adventist Church. You say, here's the writings of Ellen G. White. You say, well, you know what? That ain't going to make them a Catholic. The only thing that'll make them is a Seventh-day Adventist. You follow what I'm saying? Well, now hold that thought. It's what's in the seed. The seed is predictable, and what's in the seed is what it produces. Now, back up a minute. What if somebody wants to be a Christian? I mean, just a Christian, and be pleasing to God and go to heaven when they die. I want to be a member of the church of which Jesus spoke when he said, on this rock I'll build my church. What kind of seed are you going to use? What would you hand them? Hand them the Bible. Go back to the Bible. Just be what that New Testament teaches. Plant that seed, and I'm telling you right now, the end result is predictable because none of these other things are in that seed. Man's not going to read the Bible and say, you know what, I sure wish I could be and name one of these religions. He's not going to say that. If he just reads the Bible, he's not going to pop up and say, I sure wish I could be one of them. And the reason is, it's not in the seed. If all he does is study the Bible, he doesn't know anything about those things. Somebody's got to plant something extra in him in order for him to be a member of those different religious organizations. If his objective is just to be a Christian, please God, to be a member of the Church of the New Testament and go to heaven, then you plant that seed. The seed is the Word of God. I wonder if there's someone here this afternoon who wants to become a Christian. You know you can. And just the way the New Testament teaches, and when people choose to accept this invitation, it's not about accepting us, really. It's about going back to the New Testament and saying, this is what Jesus wants me to do, and that's what I'm going to do. And you can repent and be baptized even now for the remission of your sins, and he'll add you to his church. If you'd like to do that, come now as we stand and sing.